Hello, everybody. Sorry for the hiatus. Also, we were supposed to start this about 5 minutes ago, but I was catching Pokemon. So, there's that. Anyway, sorry, I guess you should continue.
It's been a while. We're a little rusty. Well, first of all, welcome back to Scientology Chat. This is episode 10, one of our first milestones. And more importantly, that I'm sure most of you have been wondering about, is this is our first episode in over a month. And so...
Yeah, I was hearing through the grapevine, air quotes... that we had some emails about people missing us.
Yeah, those of you who sent emails letting us know that you appreciated the show and wanted to know if we were coming back, or I got a message from somebody asking if we had moved somewhere else. That's amazing. Thank you so much for wanting to listen. And also, that our last episode that we did, episode 9, School Scientology in Schools, was by far our best performing episode we've done so far. And I just can't tell you how much we appreciate that you take the time to listen, and so many of you took the time to reach out and make sure we were okay or what was going on.
No kidding.
And so that's kind of what we're just going to talk about today, to let you know what actually has been going on, what's going to happen in the future, and kind of talk about everything in general here. I've thought about this quite a bit to decide if I wanted to talk about what's been going on at all, or...
Well, I mean, it'll certainly give the church a good idea who you yeah. are. Not that they probably don't know.
Yeah, so this is basically what's going on. The reason that the show had to stop for a little while is we had to deal with quite a bit of things here. The biggest one and the biggest disruption, and what I have been trying to decide on if I wanted to talk about it at all, is that in 2021, I got pulled over for a DUI, and I fought that charge for 2 years, almost 2.5 years. And I rejected deals that the prosecutor were offering me for a lesser sentence because I believed that the police officer was lying. And so...
Because... Which I will say, as a third party observer and having, I guess, intimate knowledge of this case and all of that, it certainly seems like you got fucked.
Yeah, I do feel like I got fucked, but I won't bore you guys with the details on that. The long story short is that because of what happened and the nature of how I fought that charge, the state decided to be not so lenient, and I have to, sir. And so starting in March, I began my jail sentence, which is carried out over weekends.
Which is why there will not be episode Sundays.
Yeah, for the time being, that will not happen, but the show will resume again.
Well, I guess we could probably just talk about it later, but did you want to do, like, Mondays and Thursdays? Because I don't see you after work Friday.
Nope. Yeah, well... Okay, well
yeah, we'll iron that out later.
Yeah, we'll figure out a plan. So, like I said, because of the nature of what happened and the nature of how I fought the charge... I actually have to serve 40 weekends, 40 weekends.
How do you say that in Spanish? What's 40?
I honestly don't know.
All right, never mind. That's not
yeah. So I've already served 5. We'll be serving number 6 shortly. And to be honest, for a while, doing the show seemed... There was so much else going on top of everything that was part of the fallout of everything that's changed because of jail and court and this, that, and the other. And also because the same reason I didn't really know if I wanted to talk about it and be honest about what was going on today is that for a while I've been feeling so embarrassed about all of it. And the more that I thought about it, the more I've been sort of realizing that, and the reason that I'm being honest with everybody now about what's going on, is that I'm certainly not perfect. In all the time that we talk about the show, and all the things that I've told you guys about Scientology and what it's taught me, and the things we've discussed, and how the theology works and the religion, is not to say that I follow it and do a perfect job. That is absolutely not the case. And as much as I want to tell myself that I'm not embarrassed about what I have to do for the mistake that I made that time ago, because to be fair, I was drinking and driving the night that I got pulled over. That wasn't the nature of what I was accusing the police officer of lying of. I never denied that. If I wouldn't have made the choice, I wouldn't have been in the position for the police officer to be able to lie. But I'm hoping that, as we talked about, Scientology is all about tools where when you're at your lowest point and you make mistakes and you fuck up in your life, like we talked about in the Breaking Points episode, Scientology doesn't tell you to put your faith in somebody else, beg forgiveness, and hope that a divine power is going to turn it all around for you. Life sucks, and sometimes it sucks for a long time. For me, it's going to suck for the next 35 weeks, and possibly longer than that.
Except for when we're doing the podcast.
Yeah. And while I've been in jail and outside and thinking about all of this and thinking about talking to you people about it and trying to reconcile the fact that I was kind of afraid to be honest about what was happening because I was afraid that it might make people think less of me or be less interested in what I have to say because I have fucked up. Was a worry in my mind, even if it might not have been valid.
Who doesn't fuck up, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's certainly to a certain degree, but, you know, I mean, shit happens.
And like I was saying, and what like we talked about in that interview, none of us are perfect, and when we fall and we fuck up, we have two choices to make. We have to make a choice on if we want to pretend like we want to get better and say that we're going to change and pretend and suffer our way through continuous problems and continuous failures, or we have to choose if we're going to truly try to do better and get through it and recognize the wrongs that we've done and accept that we fucked up even when other people fuck us over. And believe me, you are talking to a person who knows more about that than a lot of others might. And that is what Scientology is, to me at least. Maybe not to all of the people who listen, but to some of you who I've talked to. And
You should do like speaking gigs, you know that?
Yeah, I wish. Maybe one day, but
sorry, I didn't mean to.
You didn't. I was just, the more I think about it, and the more it just, because most of you know I have been a Scientologist for almost 10 years now, and actively practicing, maybe not every day, not as well as I wish I would have, or especially in hindsight, to try and prevent myself from getting to the point that I was at where I was drinking in the first place. I fully admit that at over a certain period of time when I was very sick and very alone and didn't have a very close relationship with any of my family, I left North Idaho and came to Utah by myself, not knowing anybody here. I loaded basically everything I have into my car and left and came here to Utah where I didn't know anybody. And I started out living in my car, not having really a place to go, sleeping in the parking lot at a Walmart. And then through working for DoorDash, as bad as it was, I saved up enough money to get an apartment and worked so hard to get my life together. And I got an apartment, I got my first car that I was able to pay for myself. The car I drove here in was a car that was just a beater with a heater is the best way to put it.
So the other one is the one you have now?
The gold Prius, the one that I wrecked.
Oh.
Yeah, the one, yeah. I now have a different car than the one, as I just said, I wrecked my first one. So this is kind of, there's a purpose to this story if you follow me through the rest of it. And for the longest time when I got here, I was doing such a good job at not drinking, working really hard because I was putting everything together again.
This isn't where you meet me, is it?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh,
no.
Thank God.
this is about 7 years ago.
And oh,
so
okay.
For years when I got to Utah and I started to put all of this together, I was using what I had learned in Scientology to do it. I was already using self-analysis back then. When I was sad, I was doing it. When I was alone or scared. And believe me, there were times I was very scared sleeping in the parking lot of that store. And when I was even more terrified the first night that I got to my apartment, because I was happy to have an apartment, but as the gentleman sitting to my right knows, it was not the nicest building, to put it mildly.
Why? Well, I believe when we went over there in my mother's car to help you move out,
mm-hmm.
there was a couple sitting out front with a police officer talking to them.
Yeah.
And they looked like they might have had substance abuse issues.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that definitively. I'm not a licensed physician.
Yeah. And obviously, I can't fault people for having substance abuse problems by any means.
I don't blame anybody either.
But the police were frequent visitors to that building. But it was still better than living in my car. And that's what I was able to tell myself when I was doing those exercises and when I was, as I have mentioned many times, derivatively towards Aaron Smith Levitt from his interview, I was pulling myself up by the bootstraps using tools, and they only cost me a nominal fee of $9.99, according to him. And it worked for me. That's why I do this show. I mean, it helped me a lot. But this is where things get a little closer to why I have to do this jail time. So I worked so hard and was getting all that shit together. I had pulled myself so far up and I was finally feeling good and felt like I was putting my life together. And then I started to notice that my stomach would hurt really bad. I was losing the ability to go to the bathroom regularly. I was constantly constipated. Started to feel faint all of the time. And so I went to the hospital and they did blood work on me, and then I can still remember with such crystal clear clarity when the nurse practitioner came back in and she was like, we need to move you over to the emergency room. And she wasn't going to tell me why, and I was like, what's going on? I need to call somebody if something bad is happening. I need to know. She was like, I'm going to level with you. We did your blood work, and I can't remember what the number was. I've always remembered it in my head that it, I, that she said something like your L numbers or something like that.
L. Ron Hubbard?
No, I can't remember what it is. It was L numbers or something in my blood work. And she says, we need to get you to the emergency room so we can do further tests because it looks like it's either pancreatitis or pancreatic cancer. And as soon as I heard that word, everything just kind of crashed for me because I couldn't believe the cosmic joke that was being played on me, that I had worked so hard and done so good and I made it to Utah, and I had got so far from having nothing.
Well, that in sense, because you came from certainly a difficult situation.
Yeah, and it felt like I had made it so far. And as soon as I heard that word, it was like I could see it all crashing in front of me. And so this is where I failed the first time. After that happened, and I started to, I had a choice at that moment, like we talked about.
Freaking making me tear.
You can tell I haven't worked my way through these engrams. I had a choice at that point when I left the hospital after learning everything that I had learned from being in the emergency room and all that. And I made the choice at that moment because when I found out about this, it was right after Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy, he found out he had pancreatic cancer. And then a couple of months later, they said that he was better. And then like 30 days later, he died from it. And that was just so fresh in my head. And it just felt like such a cosmic joke. And so I made a bad choice. And I went out and I decided that I was going to drink until I didn't care anymore. And then I was going to slam my car into a wall. And and I was going to try to kill myself. And that's exactly what I did. Somewhere in West Ogden, I can't remember where. Or East Ogden, actually.
Ogden in general, yeah. It doesn't matter.
But somewhere in the hills over on the east side of Ogden, I was drinking and just kept drinking, and finally I reached the point that I was trying to get to. And I had my wits enough about me that I never got pulled over. I never got stopped or anything. I was driving well enough. And there was finally the point where I felt like I didn't care enough anymore. And so I did. I took my car and I drove it straight into a concrete wall. And I have absolutely no idea, because I've shown Rory the pictures of what my car looked like. And I have no idea how I was fine.
What year was that Prius? Because apparently that year of Prius is a great safety vehicle.
Yeah, no kidding. It was a 2005 Toyota Prius, and
awesome. What the
shit? I have no idea how, but that car just saved my life.
Does a Prius have a submodel or
no? It was just your run of the mill, just like my blue one, except that one was gold.
All right, well, I'm not sure if gold might be a factor in any of
this. Yeah, but so that's what happened. And so at that point, I got a DUI after I wrecked my car. The cops did show up afterwards, and everything happened. I did what I had to do for that.
There like a, oh god, it, bothers me so much that, like, somebody's trying to kill themselves. And wasn't one of your charges, like, destruction of property?
It was on like this.
I don't know. I guess it wouldn't bother me so bad, but something in my brain just, like, flips to all the news stories and the local news and all the shit about drunk drivers, you know, driving on the wrong side of the fucking freeway and killing a family and all this shit. And it's like, at least you were trying to off yourself. Not, I mean, well, but that's kind of a positive.
Yeah, I certainly don't think I made a wise decision by any means, but...
Well, right, and
needless to say, my car and my face had significantly more damage than the concrete wall did.
I will say his face looks better than his last car.
Yeah. And so this was the first DUI. This is the one where...
I didn't know we were going this deep.
Yeah, I mean, this has a lot to do with Scientology too, because we get through this first DUI. Okay. Get through the first one, and that's what happened. That's what led me to that point. That's the bad decision I chose to make, and I paid the price for it. And then we get to later on, and this is getting us closer to where we are now. In that period of time where I was working on getting better and medically better, physically stronger, getting everything back together again, taking pills for this, that, and the other, whatever, I was willing to try whatever they were going to put in front of me to help it not hurt anymore. Not the stuff from the car accident, but the illness in general. And because of what I was dealing with and the physical problems that I was having from not from the medicine, from the symptoms themselves and the stress of it all, I wasn't even able to do DoorDash to try and support myself or pay all the fucking bills or the rent or my car payment, insurance, and everything. I was paying for it all by myself.
In this economy.
Yeah. And so, I started to go, there's a bar that I was working, moonlighting as a karaoke host. It wasn't a lot of money, but some nights I was getting in $300, $400 and for doing it for two nights between the money I was getting straight from the bar and the tips.
Well, I was going to say, hey, if you would be doing that every night, $300 a night is, well, not that bad.
I wish, but... so that this is where we get to where we are, what's happened now. And it's one of those things where the domino effect is laid bare before me, and it's a series of unfortunate events. It's such a great title for a book series, because there are times where it just, nothing fits better than that.
Would a butterfly effect work there as well?
I wish. If I could go back and change one small thing, I'm sure it would have changed everything else.
Go back and find a butterfly and kill it.
Yeah. So we get to this point where I'm moonlighting at a bar trying to pay not only my medical debt and my rent and my car payment and my insurance and my fine to the court, because if you miss a court payment, you get a violation, you go to jail, then you can't make money to pay anything.
Good old so, America.
Yeah, I'm out here doing this, working at a karaoke show one night, and we get to 1 o'clock in the morning, and Utah has an extremely low DUI tolerance percentage to begin with.
I believe it's 0.00 now.
It's not far off. Well, it's maybe 0.05.
Okay, maybe I was just thinking for minors.
Yeah,
that's when I was worried about it.
And so, because I was working the show at the bar, I was drinking. That is true. I accept that. I made a bad choice, and I made another bad choice when I left.
Well, I was going to say, but, I mean, you go to a bar, you drink. That's what you do. That's probably not the bad choice, but yeah, the choice after that,
And so I certainly, and I'm not defending myself to you to in at this point. I am dealing with the consequences in court regardless. But at the time, I wasn't throwing back shots or anything. I wasn't chugging. When I left, I felt like I really was okay to drive. I wasn't stumbling, slurring, or anything. And when I left with other staff of the bar, and even during the process of the case, none of them felt like I was bad to drive. But I got in my car and I went to pull out of the bar parking lot, and the police officer who I accused of lying was 2.1 miles away from me at 1 o'clock in the morning with my car's LED halogen lights shining directly in his face from 2 miles away.
Halogen?
The bright ass blue, the ones you always harass me about.
Oh, yeah. If you have LED lights on your car, I have something against you.
Yeah. And from that distance away, he said he saw me turn into made an improper lane shift that I turned out into the far left lane of the 4-lane thoroughfare. And so he followed my car for 4.5 miles. And then when I was about to cross the city limit out of his jurisdiction, he pulled me over at that point, breathalyzed me, and arrested me for a DUI. And that is the charge that I've been fighting for the last 2 years. I made one original bad decision after doing so good for so long in a moment of weakness where I knew I had other tools. I had other ways that I could have dealt with that. And that's what we've talked about here. I had the tools that I paid nominal fees to have in my tool belt, and I chose not to use them. I made a bad choice that created other bad circumstances for me, and those bad circumstances led to impossible choices, in my opinion, where I was damned if I did and damned if I didn't. So I decided to roll the dice and see if I was damned. And lo and behold, I was. I did what I thought I had to do to keep my house and not become homeless again. I did what I had to do to pay my court fines and not violate probation and find myself in the exact predicament I basically wound up in anyway. I fought that charge for 2.5 years, like I said, from August, almost 3 years ago now. I fought it for so long. I turned down deals because I knew that he was lying. And I may have lost, but it still feels great to know that he had to sit in court and I got to ask him questions. And I would still say I got to show that he was a liar.
Well, a lot of the times, especially, well, I guess I shouldn't say for, DUI stuff, but a lot of like parking tickets or stuff that's like more minor, a lot of the times the cops don't even show up for court. But the people plead guilty anyway, just to get it over with, because that seems like the easier option.
And there's kind of that, now that we wrap it all up here to kind of bring us back to,
Oh, we're wrapping it up now?
well, not the whole episode, but
I mean,
why.
you went into a lot more detail than I thought was gonna go on.
And there, the reason I decided to do that is twofold, and that's where we're at here.
Because he's a good person and he's honest.
The first one was just that. I wanted to be honest with everybody who listens about why the show was off for a while. And I wanted to be honest for some of the people who have said that or have may have been interested and done something I suggested. Or I wanted to be honest that I give in this show, I've given people a lot of advice and suggested what you should do to try and tell you what I believe will help you be better in life. And told you what I thought would be a good way for you to help yourself and be a better person. And I hope that by being honest, it shows that if you try your hardest to do the things we talk about, or different things, whether it's Scientology or something else, and then you make a bad choice and you fuck it all up, everything after that, you find yourself with more choices, and you have... And when you have those and you're looking at them, or you make a bad choice and you sit and reflect on them, I hope that, I hope that you can think about a lot of the things that we've talked about, whether you are a Scientologist or not, whether you use the tools we've talked about or not, whatever you use, I hope that whatever it is in your life that you do, you don't find yourself feeling like because you fucked up once or you made a bad choice that you're damned no matter what.
Anything else?
Yeah. There are tools, and I hope that you guys use them. That's why I do this. That's why I try to help people. That's why I try to share what I believe about in Scientology and Dianetics. You can pick yourself up by the bootstraps. I've done it many, many times. I've pulled myself up and fallen, and pulled myself up and fallen, and over again. And maybe one day I'll pull myself up, and when the choice is presented in front of me, I won't make the wrong one again. But if I do, I'll still know that one day, when I get myself back up again, I will be better. And, I hope that you guys continue to listen, and throughout this story that I told you guys about what's happening and why, I hope that I didn't make the wrong choice today.
Well, I think being honest and, you know, personal things that you're willing to share, any of that, good for you. Because there are a lot of things that I would not tell to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Especially people listening to me on the friggin' internet.
Very true. And there are two reasons that I was afraid to talk about this. In addition to the reaction of some of the people who listen to the show. The first one...
Although I don't think... The reactions won't be that bad. I mean, I'm sure there'll be plenty of sympathy and understanding, you know?
And believe me, I'm glad that you said that.
Understanding is the most important thing, by the way.
I truly want to say this as well. I didn't tell this story because I want anybody to pity me. I hate pity more than anything. I hate people feel... That's why I don't normally talk about things like this outside of auditing sessions or things of that nature, because a lot of people, and we have to be honest with ourselves about this, I've certainly done it and many others do as well. A lot of us want to use the worst things that have happened to us and the bad choices that we've made, not to try and improve ourselves, but to try to make others feel bad for us. And I don't want any of you to feel bad for me. We've talked about the tone scale and the company we keep, and that the people you surround yourself with pull you up or drag you down the tone scale. And when you try to make other people feel bad for you, you are pulling them down the tone scale instead of using those people to pull yourself up. That's a choice that you have, and I hope that you make the right one when it's your turn. And so... The two things that I wanted to say about why I was afraid to talk about this is that, one, if the Church of Scientology ever does try to come after me because of the topics we discuss on this, I don't think they ever will, because I've said many times, I do not hate the church.
Well, that, and you're not like a high up in the church that, you know.
True, but that hasn't stopped them from going after people before. And
I need to watch those documentaries.
So I don't think that they will, but if they ever do, the Church of Scientology likely will use things like this or my criminal history to try and discredit me. I know if they did, I hope they won't. I hope they understand that I do this because I care about the church and I want it to be better too. That's one of the reasons. And then the second reason that I was afraid to talk about this was because people have a perception that a successful religion breeds perfect people, that a religion is true because people who follow it are Christ-like or holy, or in Scientology's case, you have people like Tom Cruise, who seems like the happiest person in the world.
Crazy.
Everybody who ever says that they met him seems to think that he's this great person. Or people have the conception in Scientology that we don't believe in medical care. I've heard many people make jokes about Kirstie Alley, that Scientology is obviously bullshit, because if it was true, she wouldn't have been able to die from cancer.
What?
Mm-hmm. That's a common rumor about Scientology. They think that if you achieve certain levels on the bridge and you get to OT, that you are invulnerable to disease.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to read more of these fucking books.
So, and that's not true. That's not reality.
Okay.
And so,
fake news.
That was another thing that made me nervous, was that because I know from talking to people like the person who I was talking to you about, who had asked all those questions, that some people have found me to, and it's weird to say it, but have found listening to me to be helpful for them.
A lot of people,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. And I was afraid that by talking about this and showing that I am not perfect by any means, and I have made horrible mistakes, that they might think lesser of me or give up entirely, because they might feel that what I'm trying to help them do won't really help them, because there are times where it didn't help me. And so I wanted to talk about the story, because there are times when it could have helped me and I chose not to.
Oh, free will.
Yeah.
Free will.
For all the good it does for us sometimes. But, yeah.
Take your time. Yeah.
I hope that this has been an illuminating experience, for good or for better or for worse. I'm not a perfect Scientologist. I know the materials. I know the books. I know what it can do if you use it right. I know what I've read. I know what I've seen. I know that I've helped people.
He's also watched, as I recall, more World War II documentaries than yeah, any person you know.
I think that's probably true.
Because I thought I saw a lot.
Yeah.
You know a lot of shit that I don't know.
And as we've discussed before, for better or worse, I have an extremely good memory. And even though I know all of that, I will have to deal with all of the times that I remember that I didn't use them. And it's not that the church failed me. It's not like, and that's one of the things that makes Scientology as a faith different from others. It didn't fail me because I didn't have enough faith in a superior being, or I didn't have enough faith in a divine plan for myself. I didn't have enough faith in myself to begin with. I didn't have enough faith to have strength, and I didn't have enough faith in myself to apply what I knew would work. And so I resorted to something that was easy. I resorted to giving up on myself. I resorted to making a bad choice to end everything.
How
Wait. So how long after that did we meet each other?
We met towards the end of my regular doctor's appointment, so it would have been...
Oh, okay, so that was a little while after.
Yeah, because we met after the second, the fateful one with the lying cop. So the first one would have been 2 years before that, so we would have met about 2.5 years after the first one, the one where I wrecked my car.
All right, well, all right. Not as... My memory is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, we've already crossed the 40-minute mark, and I was only originally intending to talk for a short episode this time.
I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah. But we will be here. We're going to do more shows. We still have many more topics to discuss, including some of the suggestions that some of you have sent to us.
And some I will certainly try to look up.
Yeah.
I have seen some emails, although I don't even remember which ones.
Yeah.
So I have seen some emails.
Right. I'll tell you about if you've listened to all the episodes, you might remember that I talked about how what led to me not being in the Church of Scientology in the first place was that I was trying to run a program in the very jail I now find myself in on weekends.
And, oh, it's the same one?
Yeah. Fuck. And when I'm there, I have found when I talk to people, some people in there, whether it's out of boredom, curiosity, or whatever it is that drives them, they weren't going to let me teach the course in the jail, but now they can't stop me from talking to people since I'm locked up in there with them. So I might have more to tell you about this down the line. Because as I was telling him earlier, my third weekend when I was there, and I let it slip that I was a Scientologist, quite a number of people were very interested and had quite a lot of questions about it. So, if you're interested in that, feel free to let me know. If you have any questions or anything you want to talk about, we do have a couple from the month that we were gone that I need to research and find answers for before I answer them. I need to interpret the materials that you're asking me about for myself, because I don't pretend to know every word of every book in the Church of Scientology by any means. But I will answer those questions when I can find and give you my honest answer and my interpretation of those that you've asked about.
And then I'll be here in the background, just a fly on the wall. Listening, looking, watching.
Right.
Speaking out when I feel the need to.
If you have any questions, anything you think of, comments, concerns, whatever, Scientology chat, all one word, @gmail.com. Our podcast is now available on Apple Podcasts. It took forever for them to let us get on there, but we are on there now.
Yay.
So if you've been listening to us on a different one, but that's your primary one, you can use that. You can find us there now.
Or, I mean, if you're listening to us at all, you could do us a favor and just listen to us on every single platform if you want.
No kidding. was there anything else that you wanted to say?
Yes, I wanted to add a spoiler alert. I mean, it's not much of a spoiler, but if anybody hasn't seen Fallout, the new TV series based on video games, there's a character called Maximus who does something wrong, which you, if you watch it, you might assume what I'm talking about, but I promise you don't. But what he does is he keeps lying. And he's dishonest, and he just keeps going. And good fucking God. This guy next to me, he came honest at some point, so.
Yeah.
Sorry. That might have not been the best thing to add. But, hey, you know, question everything, read books, stuff like that. I don't remember what I fucking used to say.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, question everything. Yeah. Science Channel, old logo, used to say, question everything. I haven't had cable for a long time and haven't seen the Science Channel for a while, but I do not think they still say that. And that bothers me. Because it's the same shit, like, when, like, teachers and shit, like, when you're growing up, like, no, question everything, you know, fucking do your own research, all that shit. Now that's a bad thing, guys.
Yeah.
Just listen to the experts, air quotations.
Right.
Anyway.
Definitely agree. Question everything, like always. Question what I say. Question what you hear others say about everything.
Yeah.
And, yeah. The Fallout show is definitely worth watching. It's amazing.
It's like, it reminded me of a Tarantino, like, series. Yeah. Kind of like Kill Bill, but not movies.
Yeah, that it definitely does feel very Tarantino. But, thank you guys for listening to us again, and thank you again for the messages. I hope that you continue to listen, and we will be back next week. Yeah, thank you again. Have a good rest of your night, and we will see you next week.
Bye!